Anybody right now sitting around, driving around with a Keon Coleman take they want to rip off? So here's why I ask. Not that we couldn't ever ask a question like that. I mean, it's one of our big topics with the Bills is Keon Coleman, right? I mean, I was going to say a lot rides on him, and that's another question I need to ask myself. Like, how much really rides on Keon Coleman? The Texans, who the Bills play in the opener, lost their presumed wide receiver two to a torn ACL, out for the year. And a couple of things on that. The player is Jaden Higgins. They have Nico Collins, who's a star. He got hurt against the Bills. I guess that would have been 2 years ago on a long touchdown pass. And then he was like gone for more than a month. But, you know, if he stays on the field, like anybody, he's close to elite. After that, Tank Dell, everybody liked him, injured, presumed not ready for week one. Now you've lost Higgins for the year already. And after that, you're really scrambling. Coleman, a friend of mine, tweeted to me and maybe others that the Bills should try to trade Keon Coleman to Houston. And I would never do that. I don't want to give him away on a team where I'm not still really sure what I've got at wide receiver. He's 23, and I'm playing them in week one. I'm not giving them anybody. People have made the connection with New England and Houston. The Houston GM was with New England. And by the way, as I pointed out on Twitter, those teams do not play each other this year. If the Patriots want to trade Kayshon Booty because they don't have a spot for him, then maybe the opener is still almost a month away where Houston could get someone in and acclimate him and get by. If not for the whole season, at least week one. I mean, Jaden Higgins hasn't really done anything in the NFL yet. It's not like they lost Collins. But yeah, they could be, upon this news, they could be looking for somebody to bring in. I wouldn't accommodate them. I don't need a fifth round pick or any pick. Well, they're not going to offer me a first, right? I don't need a draft pick right now. What I need is to win a championship. And I am still leaving the door cracked open for Coleman. I know he's in a walking boot, and I know everything, or at least what we all know about his experiences here the last couple of years. But I don't want to dump it. Do you? Do you think there's any value in that? Like, do you think you would be at a point, are you at a point where you would basically trade Keon Coleman for a draft pick for next year? I don't think I'd want to trade anybody for a draft pick for next year, unless it's mind-blowing, unless it's somebody, you know, where I'm getting a one and I just can't say no. But even that, imagine such a trade. If the Bills were to send, it would have to be a starter for anybody that would get you a high draft pick, even round two, I would think. Are they so deep anywhere where they could afford that? I wouldn't. If I'm Brandon Bean, I wouldn't do it for any reason. I mean, the optics of trading a player in this moment for a draft pick to me would just be a deal breaker. Like, no, you're not going to catch me playing for futures with this roster. I got to win. Now, one part of that is, and you know, this is subjective, you might disagree with this, are they so deep anywhere where they could actually do something that would help the overall? And I just don't think so. I don't think they're unique in that. I don't think the Bills are that different or that special in the AFC for being, you know, fragile. Can I use that word? Can I use the F word? Shouldn't I know after all these years if I can use the F word? Are they fragile? So if Josh Allen goes down, it's over. If Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, it's over. Like that's maybe Trevor Lawrence. Who else? Maybe Drake May. Maybe Herbert. I don't want to say C.J. Stroud. I don't want to say Bo Nix, but I don't know. I think with a lot of teams, Dak Prescott, maybe Jalen Hurts, although I'm not as sure about Jalen Hurts. Who else? Stafford, yes. Want to say Darnold? I don't know if I do. I don't need to run the whole league down. Green Bay, Chicago, Detroit, maybe all those teams. Maybe it's almost half the league where the starting quarterback goes down. You can send the check. Now, thinking of that Houston point, maybe it's the time of year where any of those teams, if the worst case scenario were to happen, and let's just hope that we're not talking about this at any point starting tomorrow when you're going to walk into Cleveland and, you know, play a pretty serious, pretty serious practice with the Browns. Like, maybe there's somebody that you would try to get to save your season. But really, like, after Allen, whose injury would really be a problem for these Bills? Is there anybody where you would say they're dead? I would never say that about Cook. No offense to Cook. Because running backs get replaced all the time and sometimes do just as well or even better. I would think I don't want to go there with Dawkins. I don't even really like having this conversation, well, with myself, because it's sort of like a little bit dark, you know, presuming injuries. But it also is the kind of thing that a GM would have to have answered to himself already. Like, what do we do? What's plan B if anybody goes out? I don't think there's another skill position player on the Bills where I think they'd really be dead. I mean, DJ Moore is interesting. What's happened, you know, I'm in the fantasy streets, right? And what's happened with DJ Moore on the heels of Saturday's game is every time I turn on a podcast or host one like last night, everybody seems just sort of more open to DJ Moore being good to, you know, well, stat-wise, for the Bills. What matters to those guys is, like, can I get 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns out of DJ Moore or 100 catches, things like that? Like, I think Saturday did something, which to me is a little bit weird because it was one half, if not one quarter, of a preseason game. How about you? 803-0550. I would not have any interest in dumping Coleman. I mean, if he is, and I doubt this is true, but if he is some sort of a problem internally and they feel like, and this happens sometimes, they got to get him out of here because you don't know what's going on. It's this bad. Then, you know, that's not something I'm privy to. And I guess that does happen. But I want to keep going to see if I can get, what is it? I mean, I'm never going to get, probably, I mean, I shouldn't say never. I doubt I'm ever going to get that DJ Moore hypothetical season I just mentioned from Keon Coleman. But what I could get is touchdowns. And honestly, and I like this little stat, no player on the Bills over the last two seasons has caught more touchdown passes than Keon Coleman. 8. So there's like a red zone value to him. And I think maybe as he gets older, I can stretch that out into something more. So I don't want to give him up for nothing. But I'm also not expecting the world, you know, just sort of, I can't be giving up, maybe this is just obvious, I can't be giving up players for future assets right now. And that puts Bean in a little bit of a spot. We talked to Mike Tenier earlier, and he's like, basically, I've never been a fan of, to an extent, of Bean's performance. He has not, I mean, this is what it is. He has not been in a situation where he can really rebuild, like, at all. It's not even rebuilding. They call it what? Retooling or whatever word might be even behind that in really what you're doing. I mean, you're not trading your best players like you would see in hockey or something when your team is bad and you've got stars on big salary. Like, you just get everybody out of here. Football teams almost never do that. But he hasn't been, his Bills have always been on the cusp. I mean, always. So he's never been in a position to trade for futures. I guess, you know, he did it with Diggs after he traded futures for Diggs in the first place. He got to a point, I'm talking about Coleman a little bit like this hypothetically, he got to a point with Diggs, the Bills did, I think Allen is probably driving this, like I think he drives almost everything they do, where they just felt like it was untenable and let's take our chances. Everybody eats, you know, right? Let's just, we can't have this guy around anymore. But apart from like specific off the field personality conflicts, what Diggs is famous for, there really is no, there's been no opportunity, no impulse to rebuild or retool the Bills because obviously they've been at or near the top of the division the whole time. So I wouldn't, you know, that's just a certain facet of Bean's tenure or legacy with the Bills is like a lot of what maybe a GM can get fat on, so to speak, in this way is if like they start with a rebuilding project. And, you know, he did come in before they got good, and that meant Watkins and what, was that Darius even? Like, I guess that goes back that far. But really, like ever since, Allen got pretty, and they just have never had any sort of inclination, rightly, to be like that. Lines open for your feedback on this. Let's talk to Lucas here. Hi, Lucas.
Hey, good morning. Or not good morning, but how you doing?
Hi.
So I think what you're saying about Keon here, I'm just thinking about, like, in terms of his expectations, what I'd be happy with. And I think if DJ Moore can come in and be your team's certified number one primary wide receiving pass catching option, if you could slot Keon into like the third tier, if he's the tertiary option for the wide receivers and he could produce on the level of like a Gabe Davis when we had Diggs and we had Isaiah McKenzie and Cole Beasley, if he could produce to what a Gabe Davis could produce in that role, I think I would personally be happy with that. I don't think you need him to be like a 1,000 yard a year guy, even though you took him in the second round. So that's just my take on it.
Thanks. Yeah. No, I mean, you don't need to set the loftiest expectations for him to call it a win, I guess, for him to meet whatever 1,000 yards or whatever it might be. I don't think we're really there anymore, if we ever were there. What you want, though, is a useful asset, whatever that means on a stat line. And I would dare to suggest that Coleman hasn't been, you know, useless so far in 2 years. Last year he played in 13 games. He started 6. He was benched, but he did give them 4 touchdown catches. The leader on the team had 5. Dalton Kincaid had 5. Nobody else had that many. Shakir 4, Knox 4, Coleman 4. 4 is not 14, but it's about the best that anybody did in that statistic. And the year before is the same thing. What Bills player had 5 touchdown catches in 2024 to lead the team? Mac Hollins. Remember him? And then it's 4 from Coleman and 4 from Shakir. Like there is a, is it a need per se? There is a role or a, maybe a little bit of a void, you could say, that he can help fill. They have not had the touchdown guy. I mean, Davis in his day, the first stint with Davis, Diggs, of course. But that's really what I would love for them, is if somehow this goes through Joe Brady, if somehow they had, whether it's Coleman or someone else, like an easy button, as they say, in the red zone, where it isn't Allen running over people and it isn't James Cook. Or it could be a little swing pass or something to James Cook, but, you know, defenses tend to be prepared for that. Like, just if there's a player, a contested catch player that wins in the end zone. Not everybody's Davante Adams, but Davante Adams is, to me, the picture in the dictionary for this, where no matter, I mean, he's going to be double teamed. He's Davante Adams, but it doesn't matter. He's essentially the Rams goal line back, and Stafford is good enough, and maybe Allen is this good, right? We want to think so, that you can get easy-ish touchdowns from a receiver, you know, like from what the Rams get with Adams. And not thinking that Coleman can be Adams, but something like that would be what I would, that would be my project as the Bills when it comes to Coleman, is to figure out how to get him. I mean, is it impossible? Separation, there's good size. Is it impossible to think that Keon could be like that kind of player? Maybe it is. It's lofty. I'm not shooting for 1,000 yards. I'm shooting for a decent producer that isn't just a dead asset on my roster. And I think the Bills, I mean, listen to this. I think the Bills at wide receiver have room for that. Don't you? I think they do. Now, it won't be in Cleveland, I guess, because he was on a walking in a walking boot yesterday. So I doubt we see him at all this week with whatever sprained toe slash foot means, but it doesn't sound like he's fine. Remember Ryan Paganetti, who came on with me a while ago? He was in the Eagles booth, the analytics guy who has not, he's not working in the league this year, but he's building this really impressive portfolio on social media, and he's doing lots of interviews. It's a lot of fantasy, but it's also not, talking about his experience and just like stuff that teams still get wrong. That's not where I'm going here, but I saw something from him today that I thought was interesting. So Sal and I talked yesterday about this joint practice versus the game with the Browns. And we like the joint practice because we can control the situations and we don't have it have to be as violent necessarily, unlike a real game. So certain obvious ways that coaches work together and the joint practice kind of fits with what their needs are. He said, Ryan Paganetti said, he just put out that, like, if you put these practices on TV, how well would they do? Couldn't a Eagles and Patriots today, A.J. Brown against his old team, in a controlled, presumably, practice, if you put that on TV tonight, live, how well would it do? How well would it draw? Ryan basically suggested that it would beat maybe almost any playoff game in any other sport for ratings. Put an Eagles-Patriots joint practice up against the Stanley Cup playoffs. Which gets more eyeballs? I mean, to me, that's A, believable, and B, very sad, depressing, because it really shouldn't be like that. Doesn't football have enough of a hold, a stranglehold on our sports culture that we can just maybe put a limit on how much more needs to be visible, how much more needs to be shown? Like, and that's not against his point. I'm not saying that he shouldn't have said that. I'm just saying, like, I don't, if the Bills-Browns practice tomorrow were on TV, I'd feel an obligation to watch it. I'd feel some, like a professional one, I'd feel some, you know, interest in it. I have that already. So if it's available to watch it, I probably, some of me would want to do it. But I also just, I don't need more football, you know? Like, it's, I have taken the ride with this sport. And most of you maybe, I mean, a lot of you have done it earlier, for longer than I have, and just with less of a guilty conscience, maybe. But I don't want joint preseason practices to outrate playoff games in the NHL or in baseball. I'd rather it not do that. So maybe, do we get to a point where these are televised? I mean, when has football ever said no to money? And if they thought they could make money on it, and maybe they just haven't realized yet. Now, I mean, more teams, I think, are doing it than before. This idea that it, in a way, replaces the preseason game for competitiveness or strategy or really what the teams need from each other, well, what does that tell you about the merits of the preseason game? Of all things that might seem incredible about sports in bygone eras, the fact that there were 6 preseason games in the NFL 50 years ago, that's color TV. I mean, that's not Red Grange. The fact that these teams played 6 preseason games before a 14-game regular season schedule, to me, like, a part of me wants to go back in time and just listen to or read a conversation about how that, like, happened and whether or not anybody thought to question it. Like, 6 preseason games, and the starters played them all throughout. It wasn't about resting guys and keeping them away from injury. It was about getting in shape and getting ready for our season. So can you imagine six? I mean, I grew up with four, and it was a pretty long time ago when four seemed too many. Then we got to three, but only because we had to have the extra regular season game, and I'm pretty sure we're going to do that again, go to two preseason games and 18 regular season games and probably more of these joint practices. They're fine. I feel like the Browns, and Sal's going to join me in about 10 minutes from Cleveland, I feel like the Browns are a little bit of a beehive for the Bills to walk into. This is not a if I could pick, this is not a team I'd want to hang out with right now and practice with. I don't know if I trust the Browns for this. I think I'd rather have this with a good team that doesn't have a new coach trying to instill all the new culture stuff and attitude and toughness and all those football things to a franchise that has been, I mean, desolation, Cleveland. That's a little bit unsettling to me. Like, who's to say, I mean, I guess this could happen anywhere. It could happen to a team playing against the Bills. You run into Caleb, you look at Caleb Elarm's oar the wrong way, he might just pile drive you. But really, like, Cleveland seems ripe for a scene where, I mean, they're trying to win jobs, they're trying to win respect. If you're not expected to win, does a coach like you for that extra effort type stuff, even if he doesn't think you're that talented because you're what he's trying to impart? Again, it's a pretty broad brush because I'm not saying that means you'll get hurt playing against that guy. But there's a little bit of that with me. I think there's already a natural feeling of this is going to be more intense. Everybody says that when you go practice against another team in these situations. Everybody says there's an intensity jump because, you know, you're not hitting your own guys and teams are very strict about what they want you to be able to do against your own teammate. And like that's, you see these fights happen at training camp, and aren't they often because somebody thinks somebody else went too far? That's not what it's going to be when it's the Bills and the Browns. It's not about, unless it's from a coaching perspective, it's not going to be that you went too far. He's like, yeah, that's my guy. And then it's just on. I think they're all going to try to avoid that in Cleveland. But yeah, it's just a team that, I don't know, I just feel a little bit, not nervous, but a little anxious maybe, that you're walking into a place where guys are going to have not that much to lose and a lot to prove maybe. See what Sal thinks next. He and I talked about that for a minute.